So we have a familiar image today of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And sometimes the temptation can be with familiar images that we just kind of gloss over them, or we don't really see what it is that's striking about the image. So I'd like to look at this image of the Good Shepherd a little deeply today. One of the other interesting things about our gospel readings is that they get chopped off from what is in the full gospel text. You know, when we read our Bibles straight through, we get a little more detail than what sometimes is given to us in the gospel reading. And so for what immediately precedes, the verse that is right before what we hear today is John 10:10, which Jesus says, "I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly." And then he goes into this image of being the Good Shepherd. So there's some connection between Jesus as the Good Shepherd and giving us abundant life. But then when he talks about being the Good Shepherd, he says, a good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. How is it that the shepherd gives life by dying? In contrast with the hired man who runs away when the wolf comes, wouldn't we expect the Good Shepherd to stand and fight and defend the sheep and kill the wolf rather than being killed by the wolf? Doesn't it make sense for a good shepherd to give life by protecting the sheep rather than dying? Maybe perhaps when the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, he is engaging in battle with the wolf, and that he is willing to die for the sheep. He's going to die, he's going to fight to the death, and nothing's going to stop him from defending his sheep. But ultimately, the wolf prevails. And then presumably the wolf still is able to catch and scatter the sheep, just like he did with the hired man. So in the end, how is it that the good shepherd is good at his job if the sheep are still scattered and eaten? Perhaps an illustration from our childhoods might help. Do you remember being a little kid and being scared of something? Perhaps you were scared to go down the really big slide on the playground. Or maybe you were really scared to learn how to swim for the first time. Or maybe there was that really disgusting cough syrup that you didn't want to take. I'll bet that one of the ways you overcame that fear was with your parents, and they helped you overcome that fear by doing that thing you were scared of first. Maybe your mom went down the big slide first. Maybe your dad got into the pool with his arms outstretched, inviting you to come into the pool. Or maybe your mom took that first bite of the cough syrup to show you that everything was going to be okay. When our parents do it first, they show us there's nothing to be afraid of. Everything will be okay. As children, we're able to overcome these natural fears, these things that are scary just by nature, because we know that our parents are right there with us the whole time, because they're doing it too. And so our Lord does this with the very experience of death. He leads us as the Good Shepherd through death to eternal life, because he's with us in his own death as well. During part of my time in seminary, I was back in my diocese in Atlanta on an internship at a parish for an entire year. And while I was there, I got to serve a lot of funeral liturgies. And there were two passages of scripture that were consistently chosen as the texts for funerals. The first one is Psalm 23, probably the most familiar psalm to all of us here, that talks about the Lord again being our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. And you can probably finish the next line, right? Why do I fear no evil? For you are with me. The psalmist says, the psalmist reminds us that the good shepherd is always with us in those good times and in the bad times, in those times when we're really joyful and in those times when we're really scared. He leads us and guides us both through life and through death, because he himself died and then he himself conquered death. The second passage that I heard over and over again during funeral liturgies was from Romans chapter 14, and this is what St. Paul says there. None of us lives for oneself, and no one dies for oneself. For if we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So then, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For this is why Christ died and came to life, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. During this Easter homily series of embracing belonging, our gospel and our readings today are inviting us to belong to Christ, reminding us that we already do belong to Christ, both in life and in death. When we were baptized, each one of us received the gift of new life in baptism. We were baptized into his death so that we might share in his eternal life as well. This belonging, this belonging to Jesus, is elevated from not just we're sheep in his flock, but we become children of God. As our second reading reminded us today, see what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God. And yet so we are. By his death and resurrection, he has given us this relationship with the Father. He has given us a share in his sonship, a share in his identity as Son of God. So that when we go through life and we have very scary experiences, some more scary than others, particularly the possibility of death, knowing that Christ is with us and that the Father is with us makes death not so scary after all. But how do we live for the Lord? Because that passage from Romans says, if we live for the Lord, then we will also die with the Lord. So how do we live for the Lord? The second aspect of embracing belonging is not keeping this great gift of sonship, of daughterhood with God to ourselves. Jesus reminds us in our gospel that there are other sheep that don't yet belong to his flock, that don't yet belong to the family of God. There will be one flock and one shepherd. There will be one family, because there is only one Father. It's the desire of God that those who do not yet belong will belong to his flock, the church. And if we are truly his sheep, if we truly are his followers, if we truly are sons and daughters of the Father, then we will want that very same thing. We will imitate how he gives himself to us by giving ourselves to others. How he teaches us who God is, we teach others who God is. If we truly believe that belonging to Christ is a beautiful, powerful gift like none other in this world, that makes death not something to be feared, but something through which we pass to eternal life, how could we not share that with those who have not heard that good news. We want others to embrace that possibility, that reality of belonging to Christ. Peter reminds us in the first reading that there is no other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved. There is no other name besides our Lord Jesus Christ to which we need to belong in order to be saved from the fear of death. And if we belong to him in our life, through our actions, through our good deeds, then we will belong to him in our death, and we will have nothing to fear. Amen.